good fun and fellowship in, and God bless us that He has, and we appreciate it. And so we just want to thank the Lord for a lot of things here at this church, because of the Lord, not because of us. I think I'll preach on those verses of Scripture this morning, Brother Orville. Appreciate you singing that song. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. You know, as we, most of us, I would say, really are familiar with these verses of Scriptures, and Peter walking on the water, and he took his eyes off of Jesus, as the song said, and began to sink. But most of all, we need to understand what Jesus Christ was trying to teach us here in these Scriptures. And it was not trying to teach us how to walk on the water, so much it is how to walk on the Word. Because really, Peter was not just walking on the water, he was walking on the Word of God. All of us need to learn how to walk on the Word, because we know there are storms of life and the problems of all kind. If you hear this morning, and I know I can see you here this morning, and in every pew where someone is sitting, there's a problem. You may be coming out of one, or you may be going in one, or you may be in the midst of one, as disciples was. But we are human beings, and we in a fallen, sin-falling world, and we will have problems. Regardless if you're saved or lost, problems will come. Have y'all found that to be true in life? I'm telling you, you will have problems. Now, of all kind. Now, Jesus Christ had a special purpose in sending the disciples out into the Sea of Galilee, because he knew that there was a storm brewing. And you know, he knows when there's a storm brewing in our life, and he'll send us out in the midst of it. So let's read a verse or two of these scriptures in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the blessed word of God. Father, for the convicting power of the Spirit of God through the word of God. And we pray, God, that we may see the Son of God here today. Father, we know that you will work. We thank you for your power or the word of God. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be on this side of eternity, that, Lord, we might be able to learn the lessons of life that you has taught us through the word of God. And we thank you for what we call the Bible today, that covers every problem that we'll ever have in life. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for what you're doing in the lives of your people here at this church. And we thank you, and we know what you will do in the far scenes of this service, because we know that you will work. And we thank you for the blessings of life in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and amen. Jesus also knew that the wind and the waves had to obey him as he sent his disciples into the storm. Now, it says, you know, in the Bible, Jesus constrained them to get into ship and go to the other side. It says in verse 24, he ordered them to go to the other side, knowing that there was going to be a storm, because he knew the future. He knew the wind and the waves, but he said, get in that ship and go to the other side. Problems of the storm is going to be a brewing in your life and my life from time to time. And we know we have found that to be very, very true. All of us are going to have problems in life. I'd like for you to picture your life this morning now as Jesus speaking to you in the problems of life that you're going to have as we stroll through this life. We're going to have problems of storms and our ship, and sometimes we find out that we're in the very middle of the sea of life and the problems that we're having today. Being tossed like a cork on the waves in a storm with the wind blowing in our face today. Pleasant Hill, you'll be in the midst of your storm one of these days of all kind. And I like for us to look at the problem of the storm, because there are some problems in the storms of life. But not only that, I want you to look for just a moment or two at the distance from the shore. Now it says now in the midst of the sea. They was right in the middle of it, in the eye of the storm, in the eye, in the midst of the sea, in the very middle of the sea. It was just as far from one place as it is to the next place, right in the middle. No matter which way they was rowing or going, they was in the midst of their problems. Seemed like when we have problems, we find ourselves right in the midst of the problems, not knowing which way to go, but we in the middle of our problem. The distance from the shore that Jesus Christ would like for us to look at, because sometimes it seemed like a long ways from the shore when we're going through the problems and difficult we have in life, and we will have, but it's a long way from shore. And the second thing, look at the direction of the wind. Now, the wind was contrary. Now, the wind of life and the problems, don't matter how you serve Jesus Christ, how long you serve Jesus Christ, you know you're going to have problems, and the wind's going to be blowing in your face from time to time. See the direction of this wind, it was contrary. The disciples, they was probably out there rowing as hard as they could. They was paddling as hard as they could, but seemed like the wind was blowing right in their face, right against them. And you know, though, it seemed like the wind, whenever you have problems, it just seemed like the wind is just blowing contrary right in our face. We have these problems, and the wind is blowing against us. And we try like the disciples did of rowing. We try, and we find out our problems, it seemed like they don't go away. We're right in the midst of our problems. And it seemed like the harder we try, we're not getting nowhere because we're still right in the midst of our problems. Well, the third thing comes along, and it tells us about the darkness of the night, verse 25. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, the darkest part, it says, in the middle of the night, the fourth watch means the darkest part of the night. There's a part of every night is the darkest part. When it reaches as dark as it's going to get and starting going up again, that is the fourth watch of the night. And we find out a lot of times in our problems, we wake up and see that we in the very dark, dark problems of life. Seem like everything is caving in around us. Don't know which way to turn, rowing hard as we can, doing all we can, but seem like to me the wind and the waves is going to take us under. Don't know anywhere else to turn. But see, the time of life is blowing in our face. Contrary against you and I, the darkness of the night, seem like there's no end of eternal. What's going to happen to us now? Seem like that we're going down. Seem like there's no other place for us to go down. The disciples felt the same way. What in the world are we going to do? We work as hard as we can. We get nowhere. The storm is increasing. We ride in the middle, the darkest part of the night. What are we going to do? The wind is contrary. Either way, we try to go. Then we see the performance of the Savior. Right in the middle of your storm, right in the midst of your problem or tribulation that you're going to have in life, and you may be in it right now, the sickness and difficulties, you'll see the performance of the Savior. He said he saw them, although they did not see him, he saw them in the time, in the storm of their life. Verse 25 and on says, in the fourth part, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out of fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. They saw Jesus Christ in the midst of their storm. Now the problem with a lot of people today, even Christians today, they do not see Jesus Christ in their storm. But they need to see to look for Jesus Christ. Disciples, they were not looking for Jesus, but yet they saw him coming. They saw Jesus. People, we need to see Jesus Christ in our storms. We have storm of sickness here at this church and all around our community. Seems like more than we've ever had before. But right in the midst of people's sickness, they need to see Jesus Christ. It may be a physical problem that they're having. You might be having this day. It may be, you know, a financial problem, a cultural problem, a domestic problem that you're having. You know, it might be just the cultural problem we're having in our country. But you see, we need to see Jesus. We got to see Jesus. I know that you watch the news and see the problem we're having all over this country and all over the world. We got to see Jesus. Don't give in. Be resistance. Don't give in. You see, that means that we need to keep on keeping on regardless. A lot of people are folding up. They're quitting. But you got to keep on. Be persistent. Don't give up. Don't give in and don't give up. Be consistent. See Jesus Christ. Our church today, you need to come and see Jesus Christ. And don't give out. Be persistent. Continue on. Don't quit. Keep going for Jesus Christ. See, I was like to have been on earth to see Jesus Christ walking on the water. I don't know if I particularly like to have been out there with them disciples thinking I'm fixing to drown or not. But I would have been like to saw Jesus Christ working some of those miracles. I like to be with Jesus Christ when he was 12 years old teaching in the temple. I like to be hearing Jesus Christ preach, the greatest preacher that ever preached, the greatest teacher that ever had ever been on the face of this earth. And then healing people. And then raising people from the dead. Like been seeing Jesus Christ on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what he does. And maybe when they were just walking out of that tomb, that death could not hold him. But I believe walking on the water would probably have been my highlight for experience of seeing Jesus Christ with the waves dashing high, wind blowing in his face, and a foam off the water covering him. And you know what? Soaking wet probably. And him out there walking on the water. Have you ever thought about what it would be like with Jesus Christ walking on the water? Would it be like him walking on cement, like out in our parking lot? Or be like him walking on jelly? What would it really like to Jesus Christ to really walk on the water? Disciples really didn't recognize Jesus Christ. They thought it was a spirit. You know, the same thing today in the midst of our problems, a lot of times with our problems, oh, Lord, we're sick, we have all these problems, and we don't even recognize Jesus Christ in the midst of our problems. They didn't recognize him. But Jesus Christ got his eye on you. He's got his eye on them disciples. He knew what they was going through. And you know what? He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the type of sickness you're in, the type of difficulty you're in. And you know what? He's got his eye on you. They did not recognize him, but he recognized them. Jesus spoke unto them, it is I. Be not afraid. Now, he's saying, be it as I, that is the great word, that I am. The greatest word in the Bible for God is the great I am. The most sacred name for all the Hebrews people was God, that his sacred name, that I am. The reader says that I am, that you might be able to cheer up. You mean to tell me cheer up whenever we fixing to drown? You mean tell me to cheer up when I have this dreaded disease? You mean tell me to cheer up when we have the death in the family? You mean tell me to cheer up when I have all these different problems? Cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. You mean to tell me, Jesus Christ, you're telling me to cheer up? He says, cheer up, I am. When he says I am, it is I, he was declaring his deity, that Jesus Christ moves on the scene. In the Gospel of John, there are several I ams. He says, I am the way. You know, if you lost your way, he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. That's just in the Gospel of John, that I am the great I am. In our problems, we look like the sea is going to drown us. We need to understand that Jesus Christ declares his deity. If you're a child of God, you need to see Jesus Christ in your storms of life. Instead of running from him, the disciples didn't recognize him. You need to recognize who Jesus Christ is. In the midst of all of our storm, we need to see Jesus Christ, and we need to hear Jesus Christ. When you see Jesus Christ and hear Jesus Christ, we will cheer up, because he's going to declare his deity to every one of us. It looks for him and sees him coming. Now, the waves and the wind of the sea, Jesus Christ says to that Sea of Galilee, he says, you know, don't worry about these winds and these waves, because I am was here before this Sea of Galilee was even a vapor. I am is here. The deity of God Almighty himself in the person of Jesus Christ. In your problems and my problems. In our storms of life. Seem like there's no end. There's no light. We're not going to make it. It's going to suck us down. You need to see Jesus, and you need to hear Jesus Christ and his deity proclaiming his presence. He proclaims his presence that I am here. And you know, over in the book of Exodus, whenever God sent Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Here was old Moses on the backside of the desert, done try to get people out of bondage. He killed an Egyptian, had to flee from Egypt, keep from being killed, went to the backside of the desert for another 40 years till God got through with him. He says, now go and tell old Pharaoh I said to let my people go. And Moses said, I'm just an old shepherd on the backside of nowhere, and you want me to go tell the king of Egypt to let your people go? Who can I say sent me? You tell Pharaoh that I am sent you, the God Almighty, the one that everybody needs to understand, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is God one of these days. Tell him that I have sent you, that I am. In the Psalm 23 that David wrote, the first three words, the Lord is. You don't have to get any further in that psalm to understand the Lord is. In your storm of life, to understand that the Lord is. Always have been, always will be. He is today and always be the rest of the day. The Lord is. In our problem of our storm, as we look and see these first two things, he declares his deity. You need to see Jesus Christ. Proclamation of his presence. You need to see and understand it's Jesus Christ that's doing the talking. And then he announces the abundance of who he is. I am in your storm. You're having a bad time. You're having a sinking time. He says, I am. I want you to fill in that blank, Jesus Christ says, because I'm everything that you'll ever need in all your sickness. He says, I am. Fill in the blanks, because Jesus Christ says, I am the completer of everything that you need in the midst of your storm. All of us have needs. All of us needs to have a way of help. You know, I see to the great artist today, he began to paint a picture of the things of the world. Then he comes up and finds out that Jesus Christ is altogether lovely. And then the old architect is trying to build a building. And all you builders know that you have to have a cornerstone to start a building. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And the banker with all his money, counting his money today, but when the banker really finds out that Jesus Christ is really the hidden treasure, then you go to the baker. We got all type of bakers today. It breaks all kind of bread. But when a baker understands that Jesus Christ is that living bread, everything changes. And then you understand the biology. You know, they're looking for life on other planets. Y'all see on television, maybe it'd be life on Mars. You know what? What are they looking for life on Mars for? You know, life is not on a planet. The life is in a person, Jesus Christ. So the biologists understand that, you know what, Jesus Christ is life. And then we have the builder. The builder's always got to have a foundation. Well, Jesus Christ is that sure foundation. And then, my goodness alive, the daughters today, they're looking for answers for all of our problems. We'll understand that Jesus Christ is an answer because he is the great physician today. But look at our education today and our education system. Oh, we're looking for great teachers, great educators. Thank the Lord for the Christian today. But Jesus Christ is the great teacher of all mankind. And then those farmers, we ride through our community today and we see that it's harvest time and they begin to get the harvest. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of all harvest. And then we see the beautiful flowers here today, the florist, and they're looking for different type of flowers and arrangements today to make things look brighter. But once they find out that Jesus Christ is the rose of Sharon today. And then the geologists today, they're looking for all different types of rocks and forms of rocks and go to the Great Smoky Mountains and you go to the mountains here in Georgia and see all the great rocks. But then they find out really that Jesus Christ is the rock of all ages today. And then there's the old jeweler. He's looking for all type of diamonds and all type of precious stones, but he really finds out that Jesus Christ is that pearl of great price. You see, the pearl of great price is that honest, expensive jewel, you know, that you can't crush. You know, you take a diamond, you split it, you make 50 more diamonds or 10 more diamonds, but you cannot split a pearl because you'll mess it up. The honest, expensive jewel that we know is a pearl, and you can't split it because he is a pearl of great price. And to all of us preachers now, we are looking for the word of God. We're looking for something to say on behalf of God, but we find out all we got to say is Jesus Christ, because he is the word of God today. And then you see the old sculptor, he's going to go to a great stone and a great piece of rock. He's going to start chiseling away. He's going to make something when he finds out that Jesus Christ is in that living stone today. And then the statesman today, we got a politician, but we're looking for a statesman in our country today. And the statesman, then we find out there, he's the desire of all nations. If we ever find a statesman, he'll be the desire of all nations. And Jesus Christ is. You know what, too, the theology today, as we look for the word of God, we know that he is the author and finisher of our faith. And then through a traveler day, many people are traveling, they're looking for something new in life. But Jesus Christ says, I'm the new and I'm the living way. And to the sinners, that's you and I today, we know that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then to the Christians today, we can say today, but we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we know to the Christian today, he is the Son of the living God. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ says, you in the midst of your storm, you better understand one thing. When I come to you, you need to see me, you need to hear me, because I am the I am of everything that you need in the midst of your storm. No matter what type of storm you're in or will be going through, I'm going to tell you the problem of the storm, the performance of the Savior. And then the part that he wants you to really understand of me here today is the program of the saints. This you're going to have to understand in your storm of life. There's a lot of people this day, whenever the storm of life hits them, even Christian, they leave the church. They get away from the very presence of God, the presence of God's people. They think they can go it alone, and they're sinking. Listen to what he's trying to tell us today in the program of the saint. What Jesus Christ taught Peter is what he's trying to teach me, what he's trying to teach you. The title, that is how we may walk on the word. He's not teaching you how to walk on the water. He's trying to teach you how to walk on the word in these scriptures. In verse 28 and 39 it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is trying to teach a